Hey, this is Stephanie Williams of the Lemonade Podcast and Let Go, Let Flow, one half of Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, which I co-host with creator of BlackGirlNerds.com and the BGM podcast, Jamie Broadnecks. We're back for season two of MKUA. For those of you that might be unfamiliar, we are a podcast that talks about Black superheroines and Black women characters in comics. We discuss their origin stories, character development, well-known story arcs, obscure story arcs, and, well, of course, we discuss their hair. I mean, we are Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. This season, we're featuring Alien Defiance's Zula Hendrix, Bitch Planet's Penny Roll, Milestone's Rocket, Saga's Gwendolyn, Frank Miller's Martha Washington, DC's Nubia, and we also have a surprise character, but can't say anything about it yet. Just the mystery. Just like our first season, we're hoping that you walk away more knowledgeable of these women and walk away with the thirst to get to know them better. So please, pull up a seat, get comfy, and we'll meet you on the other side of the dryer. Welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is your host, Stephanie Williams, and I just want to take a moment to give my deepest condolences to the victims and the family members of them for the Las Vegas shooting that happened last night, which was Sunday at a country concert in Las Vegas. So I just wanted to do that off top. At this point, I really don't even know what to say and what else there is to say, but because until Congress does something, it's just like this conversation is just going to be the same thing, rinse, lather, and repeat. And it's unfortunate. The people that are talking about thoughts and prayers are the same people that really could make a difference and a change in our government, but here we are. So, now that it is done and out of the way, let's get into some news, because you're here to hopefully take your mind off of everything that is going on, because the world is, it really feels like it's burning, and not because it's been still hot outside when it should be fall weather, but it's just a mess. So I missed this last week, but DC fans, y'all are like some goddamn hornets. Anything wrong gets said and it's just attacked. And Marvel fans, same way. All fandoms, same way. But there was a tweet tweeted out by Unreal News, spelled U-N-R-E-E-L. I'm assuming that they're a satire on Twitter account, but they reported in quotation marks that critic reviews for Justice League would not be released until after the movie was premiered. I thought that shit was funny because, one, it's not like actual movies haven't done that before. I've heard and I read and I did a little research that has been done before for some movies. And, I mean, it ain't too far-fetched. So, of course, if you retweeted that or laughed at the tweet or whatever, I guess DC fans just, or hardcore DC stans, just assume that you really believed in this website. And Comic Sans, Twitter just did an update for 280 words, characters. They should have did one for satire or Comic Sans or hey, I'm joking. Because if you do joke, then you have folks saying, well, of course you're saying you're joking now because you sound like an idiot. And it's like, no, the shit was, I don't know how you can take that take that news from them and even think that anybody would think that was serious. But I digress. I just need y'all to tone it the fuck down. I actually do want to see Justice League, believe it or not. Like, I really do. I'm interested in seeing. I do like these characters as well. I mean, I hope it's good. I don't want to see the movie fail. I don't. But I don't know. We'll see. And also news, fuck Trump. There I said it. He came for the mayor of Puerto Rico saying that, you know, that referring to the people of Puerto Rico, that they want things. The mayor of San Jose, saying that they want things handed out to them, and it's just like they just had a hurricane devastate everything. They're out there without electricity, water, and it's a fucking mess. Are you kidding right now? So Trump remains to be garbage, and he remains to be like 150% more garbage on Saturdays when he gets to tweeting. So I don't know what that's about, but that's been like a thing lately, and it's annoying. So kneeling has been co-opted, of course. Should have seen that coming. And just the saga continues. The NFL said they would not air the national anthem before the games. And then in wake of what happened in Las Vegas tonight for Monday Night Football, they are going to air the national anthem. So I personally, I don't think that was wise in response, but they're going to do what they want to do. Jay-Z performed on SNL in a cab jersey, and I was here for that. And Michael Che just let the chopper fly. So, yeah, it is just, it's a mess. But I'm here for you in this mess. Yeah. So as far as comics are concerned, I don't know what my deal has been lately. Like, I've been reading comics, but I haven't been reading comics like I normally do. The Bitch Planet triple feature, I know y'all probably tired of me talking about it, but it's just been that good. I just really, 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 really want to give a special shout out and express my love via this podcast for Vita Ayala's, Vita Ayala's feature in the fourth installment of the triple feature series. I don't know what I loved it so much. I don't want to give her story away because I really, really want you all to pick this up and check it out and support. But she just did a really, really wonderful job of telling such an action-packed story in just 8 pages, which isn't a phenomenal thing to do and takes a hell of a lot of talent. The artwork was phenomenal as well. It's fast-paced, it moves, and just my hat's off to you, lady, because I loved it. I've read it 4 or 5 times now. So it's definitely been my favorite story so far. So if you haven't already, The Bitch Planet triple feature, I think there's 5 total. So the fourth one just came out. The last one will be this month in October. That's something, if they have a trade for it, I'm definitely picking it up. Actually thinking about picking it up and maybe giving it away for giving it away as a gift, a raffle for listeners of this podcast. So that's how much I stand for this. So if you have not checked out the Bitch Planet period, but also the Bitch Planet triple features, it's worth your coins. So this month is October. Finally, it's here. Inktober is going on right now. If you're not familiar with Inktober, it's like this artist prompt, and this prompt where artists take from it and they sketch something every day dealing with whatever the concept of the day is. And it's my favorite thing of the year because just so many talented people just doing some really cool things with the words or the concepts or whatever. So if you have not checked it out, check out the hashtag. It's Inktober, and there you go, a little something extra for some self-care. Lion Forge is still going and still loving it. Noble will be back in November, and if you didn't know, The Incidentals is out, and also Superb just had its second book or third book. I am so sorry if I don't remember correctly, but you know, Lion Forge has really come through and really held their end of the bargain as far as being inclusive, and just not even just being inclusive, but like actual really great writing and artwork to boot. So, I mean, I've already told you that I've been really weird about reading comics lately, but that's been, you know, a comic company that has really, really had my attention. Rex and Claudia, that was one that just finished up. I think it was only three. It's just a 3-book series, but that was really good. So if you have not checked out Lion Forge yet and what they've got going on, please go ahead and do yourself a favor and do that. Yeah, no real desire to read any Marvel books. I read Secret Empire just out of curiosity and just whatever, and pretty much a fart noise. Because, I mean, okay, whatever. I mean, all that hype around it, and we'll just rate it, and it all makes sense. I mean, okay, so there's two caps. That's cute. And I just, Marvel's love with Hydra is just beyond me. It is tiring. It is taxing. When Hydra showed up at the, spoiler alert, Hydra showed up for Black Panther and the crew. When Hydra showed up at the end of that, where they didn't necessarily show up, but they were, you know, said to be in Harlem. I'm surprised my eyes aren't still stuck in the back of my head. Because it's just like, what the hell? Like, y'all, I'm sick of it. So they got this whole legacy thing going on, and Guy Thor is back or visiting or doing some shit. I don't know. They just won't let Jane be great. So, I mean, you know, it's Marvel. So I've tried to get back in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I don't know. Like, I just, it's not that it's not good. It's just, I just got really disinterested after the whole, you know, misspoke or miss whatever for the respectable thing with the hair, because it's just kind of like, it's the same shit over again. So, I don't know, maybe I'll come back and I'll pick that up. Ironheart. Yeah, I really hope that Bendis hands the book over to somebody else soon, like yesterday. So, I mean, I guess that's it for Marvel. DC surprisingly has snuck its way into something that their books, something I'm actually reading on a regular. I just caught up with Super Sons, and it's a cute little book. So, and it's about 8 issues so far. So, and it's $2.99. So, I mean, you know, $2.99 versus $3.99 or $4.99. You know, it's a dollar, but it makes a difference when you're buying multiple books. That dollar adds up. So, Super Sons, if you haven't checked that out yet, that's something that, you know, might be worth your time. So, surprisingly, I guess I did have stuff to talk about for comics. Moving on to, like, movie and TV stuff. Star Trek Discovery finally aired last Sunday on CBS. And it's been heavily pirated since because it's behind a paywall, and I hate that they've done this because I hope that this show can survive that. I just don't know. And it's actually really good. Like, the set design, the CGI for, you know, the budget that they have is really good. I mean, I just really enjoyed the first episode. And honestly, I was surprised by the quality because I'm just gonna be real, but I should have expected better. I mean, should have expected such. I mean, Brian Fuller's behind it, so. And if you've watched American Gods, then you know, the costume design again is like been really, really dope. And Michelle Yeoh and Shanika Martin Green both look in charge and fly. I love the Commander Burnham was raised by Vulcans, and we get a flashback of her when she was smaller and her interactions with Sherek. And I know this isn't new to Star Trek for them to be, you know, so inclusive and all of that, but I just really love to see a Black woman in space doing space shit. And I just seriously hope that the show survives, and being behind a paywall, that changes soon. Like, I really hope that it does, because the show deserves to be something that the masses can watch. Like, I totally understand people not wanting to, or frankly not being able to pay for CBS All Access, because honestly, you would only be paying for Star Trek unless you're like some of the folks who watch The Big Bang Theory. I am not one of them. And CBS's lineup is just so stale and so white and so dry. I don't know why they didn't put Star Trek on just the regular channel without CBS All Access. So I really hope they survive it. I've watched 3 episodes so far. Like I said, that first one was really good, and the second and third have been good as well. So we'll see. Another show that has been a pleasant surprise for me is The Good Place. I started watching it about a few days ago, and I finished all of season 1 and episode 1 of season 2 on Friday night. I really didn't have no desire to watch this show. But I just kept seeing it pop up on my timeline. And I'm glad that I finally, you know, got curious enough to go ahead and watch it. And although the show is billed as Kristen Bell and Ted Danson, it's a really inclusive show. Like, there have been a number of Asian characters with meaningful roles in this, and I don't recall at all cringing at any unnecessary, or all stereotypes are unnecessary, so cringing at any stereotypes. The writing has just really been smart and funny, and the pacing of the show makes it very bingeable. Like I said, I binged this in a couple of days. It probably would have been sooner than that, but, you know, adult shit. So if you haven't watched The Good Place or checked it out yet, I think it's worth your time. The first season is 13 episodes long, and season 2 just started, so you've got time to catch up, but it's a Stephanie recommend. You know what's not a Stephanie recommend? The Inhumans. It aired this past Friday, and originally I didn't have anything to tell you about it, but I did break down and watch it. Not even a breakdown. It was more so I had stuff to do, like folding clothes and just kind of getting ready, you know, for the week on Sunday. So I was like, let me put some on in the background. So put the Inhumans on, and woof. One, Scott Buck. So I'm not at all surprised, y'all. If you aren't familiar, I already went through a Scott Buck aired show, or a showrun show. I can't talk. I already went through a Scott Buck led show, which was Iron Fist, which was fucking garbage. So this Inhumans, in my opinion, isn't as bad as Iron Fist, or at least the first episode wasn't as bad as some of those Iron Fist episodes, but it was definitely all over the place, which was irritating, especially if you are someone who isn't familiar with the characters of the Inhumans. I would think that you would find it probably hard to kind of like grasp these characters in this first episode and kind of get an idea of who they are and what they do. So Medusa's hair, the wigs on Sesame Street, which I've been watching a lot of, are better than hers, but we already know this. I really wish that they would have done better. I just feel bad for Inhumans fans, because y'all deserve better. You really do. And maybe it will get better. I really don't think it will, but maybe it will, and it'll be a nice surprise for y'all. But it's Scott Buck, so I would really not hold my breath. You'll pass out and you'll die, so don't do it. But I'm sorry. The Punisher remains being annoying as fuck. First talking to Morse Code on the Twitter account, giving us snippets of Karen Page, nobody won't see her bitch ass. And then also, you know, read between the lines, like, Frank, buddy, we don't have time for all that. We have a life. So I just wish they would let us know, like, is it coming out this year? It's supposed to. What month is it coming out? And I don't want to feel like I'm doing, you know, some fucking calculus to figure out when the hell your show is dropping. It's either dropping or it's not. Okay. So they got that shit going on. Poster for Pacific Rim, Panty Butter, or what is really called Uprising, featuring John, you can have his body, Boyega, was released onto the masses. And honestly, I just wasn't ready. But I am ready for this movie. He had the mustache, let you know that he is, how am I forgetting? Lord, I've forgotten his name because it's just too much fineness. Idris Elba. How could I forget? So let you know that he is his son. So, I really enjoyed that first Pacific Rim, because I literally went into that movie not knowing what the hell it was about, like, at all. So I was just, you know, pleasantly surprised, because I had absolutely no expectations, and it just was a fun movie, and especially a fun summer movie to see. So I'm hoping that the second one is like that, but even if it isn't, you get to stare at John Boyega the whole time. So, I mean, we'll live. You will live. And lastly, Into the Badlands released some more of new characters that will be on the show and the actors that will be playing them. And one of them is Louis Tan. He's going to have a recurring role on the show. Now, while I am ecstatic and I am so happy for Louis, I really am because he deserves this, I still feel a way about Vale's death. I really do. And I don't know, maybe if the showrunner Al Goh hadn't just further, poured salt on the wound by saying that he was unaware of the trope. I mean, it's very good and well that he might have been unaware, but I mean, to call yourself, you know, like you're on top of these things and to miss something like that, I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping I don't still feel away when it's time for the show to premiere, because it's been a little bit since that happened, but I just, you know, my tolerance for, you know, fuck shit happening on shows, movies, and all of that when it comes to black women is just really, 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 really low. It's low. It's real low. So I hope that I feel differently by the time the show premieres, because I do want to still support it, especially with Louis being on there. So we'll see. Just lift me up in your prayers. Just lift me up. So lastly, because it is October, in the spirit of October and Halloween, I wanted to give you guys, and also I just realized this episode is going to be a little short. Now I apologize for that. I do. But I just want to give you all, a list of movies that I usually watch in the fall, just because, you know, they got a little fall film to them, and also a mix of Halloween horror type movies as well. So the list is as follows: The Thing, the original, Keith David, enough said, Cloverfield, which I know a lot of people don't like, but I, for whatever reason, I just like that movie. And the first quote, not Clover, well, Cloverfield, the second one, Lane or whatever it's called, I do like that one, but the original Cloverfield, I don't know, like, that's just one that I can watch, maybe because I'm cracking jokes the whole entire time, or it's found footage, which I'm not always a fan of, but for whatever reason, I just really, really enjoy that Cloverfield. So that's one that I usually watch. Hocus Pocus, that is Commander Antilles. So Hocus Pocus is one that I just really enjoy watching. I hope that you enjoy watching it too. And I might as well keep enjoying the original, because there is going to be a remake. And honestly, they can keep it unless they're going to bring in like a Tracy Ellis Ross or a Lupita Nyong'o, or, you know, just spice it up a little bit. So definitely not no damn Kristen Stewart. They can keep that. And that's actually getting my movies mixed up. That is Charlie's Angel, where they mention having her in it. They can keep that. We don't need her in it. But I mean, depending on who they get for the remake, I may be interested in it, because I really do love that movie. So that Election, that is a movie, it's late 90s as hell. It's a movie that stars Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick, and it's about a school election. I would consider it kind of a dark comedy, but just the backdrop of it is just like peak fall. So that's another movie that I watch around this time. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, because it's late 80s as fuck. And also, it's also kind of a horror, because, you know, they're trying to get home and it just goes sideways. So that's another movie that I enjoy. Twitches and Mom's Got a Date with the Vampire, because it's Disney as fuck. I mean, come on. The Addams Family, of course. Candyman, even though I just recently watched that, I'm probably going to end up watching it again. But Candyman is definitely one of them. The Invitation has, it's a newer movie, but it has entered my rotation of movies that I like to watch in the fall time. I actually like watching that movie a lot. So, yeah. And then, excuse me, last but not least, Trick or Treat. That is like a anthropology-esque type movie. And I think it's still on Netflix. I mean, anything anthropology, like you got me. You got me sold, and I'm probably gonna watch it. So that's my little list. And I'm pretty sure there are a few other things that I'm forgetting, but those are the ones that I like off the top of my head. So I'd be curious to know what your list is of Halloween/fall movies that you kind of watch around this time. So please don't be shy, let me know. And yeah, guys, I'm really sorry for this short episode, but you know, there wasn't really a lot going on. Maybe there was a lot going on and I missed it. But I just really wanted to sit down and record this episode because it almost didn't happen. Podcasting is hard. Quality podcasting is hard. Well, podcasting is hard. And yes, you know, as much as I love it, there's just a lot that goes into it, and trying to work, podcast, and do a billion other things. It just, sometimes you're just like, you know, if only my exact thoughts could be recorded and edited and put down, and then I would be good to go. But I did it, and I really hope you guys enjoy. Actually, by the time you listen to this, season two of Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro won't be out just yet. It's actually coming out this October 4th, which is a Wednesday. So please check that out. Our first episode first character that the Jamie and I cover is Zula Hendrix from the Alien Defiance comic, which you guys have probably heard me talk about a lot on my show. So I hope you guys enjoy that, and I just hope that you guys, you know, enjoy the best of the week as best as you can. Self-care when you can. I know that's easier said than done, but even if it's only for 5 minutes or 10, just do something for yourself. Love yourself, and I'll catch you all next time.